You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, we're going to be back here in the San Francisco Bay Area at the Cow Palace on Saturday night, March 5th. We've got an 8 p.m. start from top to bottom, ladies and gentlemen. A superb World Wrestling Federation card. So much happening these days in the World Wrestling Federation. Bad News Brown will make his initial appearance at the Cow Palace on March the 5th for the World Wrestling Federation. He has signed an open contract. I know everybody in the family, but especially the kids, love to see the midgets in tag team action. Personally, I like to see the ladies' champ, Sensational Sherry, defend against Rockin' Robin. Macho Man
nothing
Randy
means
said,
nothing.
Nothing means nothing. Man.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
War, I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets it up.
Just because the world title was held in limbo doesn't mean that Hulkamania doesn't live. I'm no different than I was before, man. I've got all this, I've got this with me. And I've got all my Hulkamaniacs still intact.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, gift stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine right. Jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
You fear the giant.
I fear is an aberration. Fear is the air that cowards breathe. Fear is the first taste of defeat. The warrior only breathes the air of the brave. And the warrior only feasts on the fruit of victory!
Oh yeah, pure athlete, yeah, and I've been flying from the top to the bottom. And because they can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, nobody does it better.
You want to see it out there? You know what?
Woo!
You come to the ring right now!
Woo!
Whoa!
Woo!
Whoa!
Woo!
Whoa!
Woo!
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 Woo! Guys! What?
Woo!
I love that part.
That was Jay Lethal, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
This guy knows. That's why we're doing this.
The woo off.
This guy knows, guys. We're doing a bonus episode of Cinema Crespity, so I am going to let me see, turn that down just a little bit. Check 1, 2, perfect. We are here with Drew Cogburn, Drew,
Chris,
and Simon Time.
Woo!
Woo!
Exactly. So much fun. So good.
That was outstanding.
The
whole intro was amazing.
There's so much. All right, Paradox. We're gonna jump right into it. We're gonna just talk about movies for a little bit here. Paradoxically, that's a hard word to say when you start drinking. Paradoxically,
there we go.
Thank you for putting my feet to the fire, Drew. That's why he's here. That's what he's here for. The speaking is such an important part of wrestling. The mic work, the promos. They've been leaning on that so hard, you know, over the last 15, 20 years. And it's like, at the same time, my favorite part and my least favorite part of wrestling. Because they just talk. It's like a 20-minute segment
on
TV.
Yeah.
And it's just talking. And they're not, some of them aren't that good at it, but they still give, here's 10 minutes to push this storyline about. And it's always like the same storylines.
Well, especially now they got all the writers are Hollywood writers. There's no like agents. There's no former stars writing the stuff, so the guys like they can't articulate are being fed these scripts that they have to memorize that were written by somebody that doesn't get the character.
Athletes are being made to push storylines instead of actors, right? But you don't want to see actors body slam each other through the tables and stuff, they're gonna get hurt. They don't know what they're doing. Exactly. You have to have professional wrestlers there to do that stuff.
That might be kind of fun, depending on the actor.
I guess so. What actor, Drew, would you immediately... What came to mind, Drew, when you thought of an actor being slammed through a table, body slammed through a table?
Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart.
Chin first.
Chin first. Face bombed into a table.
Chin bombed. Chin straight to the mat.
Jesus.
Through a table.
Jesus, Lordy. Lordy Jesus.
The talking aspect is something I take really, really seriously about wrestling.
Absolutely, because it's so integral. It's so important.
It's the only reason I get booked, honestly. It's not for my intimidating physique.
I was about to say.
Well, is that the reason you get booked? And then... Yeah, I want to ask you about that. How do you get booked? How do you get booked? What if I want to wrestle? How do I get booked?
You have to go to a reputable school.
Did you go to one?
I got trained by the Dudleys.
Yes.
Before that, I worked at TNA Wrestling. I snuck my way into TNA working security.
Yeah,
I got beat up by countless names there before they realized this guy's not trained, but he's got the balls to say he is.
Sure. Yeah. And keep hanging around doing that. That sometimes that works, man. Yeah, man. Just sticking around, fake it till you make it. Like, all right, this guy's one of us.
They took a
liking. That's how a lot of them start anyway.
Yeah.
So they respect that.
They took a liking and went to the school and then, trained for an extensive amount of time. I trained for over a year before I had my first match.
Right, which would probably be the minimum, right? You would want to... experience of being in a ring and taking the falls and doing the moves and stuff without breaking your neck or the neck
or someone else's. Someone else's. There's guys that go out there and they train for 3 months and then their promoters or the trainers just want to take their money and go, yeah, you're done. Go get in the ring and
take their money because they pay to be on the card.
Yeah, or you pay someone to train you that doesn't have the experience of just taking your money for.
No matter what, do you have to? Is every wrestler paying for their first few matches?
You shouldn't. If you're doing it right. You pay to get trained.
Yeah.
And then
from the training, eventually, once you're good enough, someone's going to be like, all right, now we'll put you on a card.
Yeah.
And you'll make what? Like 10 bucks.
Maybe. If that. Yeah. You might. A couple of dollars. My first match was myself in the Fatal 4-Way. We drove to York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Me in a car of 7 other people. And we split $50 and a pack of hot dogs was our payday.
Legit. No.
Yeah.
That's
about right.
$50.
Yeah.
8 people.
And a pack of hot dogs.
Okay. So you got dinner.
So four of us were wrestling. The other four were, fans or girlfriends or whatever. But okay. They came with us.
Yeah,
friends.
Yeah.
And the four of us that wrestled, we beat the hell out of each other and got $50 and a hot dog and a Mountain Dew.
And how long did you have to drive to get there?
It was from here to a York.
From here
to York, Pennsylvania.
But maybe you were somewhere closer.
No, we rented a van and everything, man. We were so gung-ho. We split one hotel room that we had to pay for ourselves. I had one bed.
Ugh.
And it was...
That's the road life.
Yeah, man.
At least you had a hotel room. I guess at that point, right?
At least we're sleeping in the van.
Yeah. Just drive there, drive back. Oof, that's a lot of amphetamines. That's the way they used to do it. Mm-hmm. Probably some of them still do. Do you remember which company that was?
The promotion? It was for Future of Wrestling. In York, Pennsylvania, my buddy Ray Alexander ran.
It's FOWNFOWA. Huh? I don't know FOWNFOWA. Just gotta say the acronym, Drew, and then it sounds like FOW. That's a big part of two now of the right sounding letter combination.
Exactly.
It's very important. WWF sounded great. WWE. Isn't it weird?
TNA played on
TNA. Yeah, it was a little cheap, But then they rebranded, so they're like Impact Wrestling,
which is kind of cool because they don't have like a WWE, ECW, WCW. Like I help run and operate my own company in Central Florida called Vintage.
Yeah,
and it's one of the only companies that's not a 3-letter acronym. It's just Vintage Wrestling.
Vintage Wrestling, so it'd be like VW.
Actually, yeah,
which is that would get you in some trouble.
Yeah,
and the Impact Wrestling would be IW. Going 2 letters instead of. There's been ones that have gone 4. Mexico, they go 4. What's the Mexican one?
There's a AAA Wrestling.
There's AAA.
There's one in England that just started off. It's a YouTube channel called What Culture. And they have What Culture Pro Wrestling. So it's WCPW.
What Culture Pro? That's an interesting name. Because it's based on the company.
Yeah.
Remember when that the porn producer out in California started a company? Yeah. What was that company?
I forgot the company it's called. It had like Missy Hyatt in it and stuff like that.
They leached off the corpse of ECW.
Yeah,
the remains of ECW and made their own extreme thing. But it was like even more over the top. It had less charm because it had money in it.
And it was gratuitous and stuff. And
it was very, more gratuitous in a different way. In a sleazy porn way.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it was weird. It
felt dirty watching it.
And I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. Why? I don't think something like ECW would work anymore. And here's why. ECW started, Extreme Championship Wrestling started in the, where was that? Office was in New York, but they wrestled out of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wrestled in the Northeast, and that's where they stayed. They didn't travel, which for the first few years of their existence, how they started. And for television, they had to cut their own syndication deals in the area. And in New York City, when I was living there, in Staten Island at the time, they cut a deal with the MSG Network, Madison Square Garden. And it would play at about 2 in the morning on Saturday night, Sunday morning, 2 in the morning. So I would have to, oftentimes, when I was in high school, 14, 15, set the VCR to record that shit. But I would have to record like an hour before and an hour after because it was like shifting.
Case went over.
Yeah, because it was like a sporting event beforehand. It's like, oh, that, I learned my lesson the hard way a few times with that one. And that's the thing. It was like, it was on at 2 in the morning. I remember finding out about it. Like, someone told me about it and seeing it on the schedule, recording it. Like, waking up next day and be like, oh, shit. And then I put it on. And I remember the first match. That the only match, I think there's only really one full match in that first episode. It was like an hour long thing. But I remember the match so specifically. It was Balls Mahoney walked out to the middle of the ring. And he was like rambling about looking for like the toughest guy in the building. He's like, I'm just so good at you, you know. And I know how to bring out the right guy with this challenge. And he pulled out like a six pack of beer. And it was like, here's the prize for the match. Whoever wins gets a six pack of beer. And then the Sandman came out. And they started playing Enter Sandman. And his deal was, as they play Enter Sandman, he takes the entire song to like drink half of six beers.
I was about to say.
Like, they'll chuck half
all
of
he does
it
is chuck beer and throw it at people.
Smoking an unfiltered cigarette the whole time.
Yeah. Smashing the cans on his forehead.
Yep. So that he's bleeding by the time he enters the ring. He's always bleeding. So this guy comes out like an animal fucking smashing beers. He's like Stone Cold but on steroids. Like before Stone Cold, you know? And I was like, what the fuck? My mind. I was like 15, 14 years old. I was like, what is this? Yeah. And then they started going at it, and then they were just like kendo stick and chairs, and there was like the ref was barely even in sight. They were going around. There's no 10 count. I was like, I am not used to this. Yeah. I'm still used to Coco Beware and the Big Boss Man.
The cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. I was just a couple years removed from that. The 1-2-3 kid just beat Razor Ramon on Monday Night Raw. I was like, who is this guy? And that's how they set up X-Pac. You know, that was the beginning of his run. So I went from the cartoon to like this extreme, like literally extreme shit, and it blew my mind. And the whole like finding it on regional TV at 2 in the morning gave it that extra bit of like
grittiness.
Yes, undergroundness, like this is fucking real, you know. Yeah. It's not, but you know, like this is crazy. You can't do that now. And they're now like, you know, like you said, it's on the YouTube, it's on the internet. You can't be discovered the same way. It doesn't have the same sense of like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Like
perverse of shit. You know? It was like, this is like subverting my mind.
And plus, forget about the wussification of America, man. Everybody's offended by everything. Look at the stuff ECW did, and WWE had to go PG, and now everything is.
Yeah, well, once the WWE Titan Sports bought their catalog and they did their own ECW thing, it was definitely. I've watched a couple of those early episodes or whatever you want to call
it. The bastardized ECW.
Yeah, and it was like, it was just another version of Monday Night Raw, which in the 90s, my top three would have been ECW and then WCW and then WWE.
Really?
In the 90s, they were my third favorite, to be honest.
Wow.
To put it that way. How about you? How would you rank them? Was WWE like up there for you?
Yeah.
I know that was the most popular of all of them.
WWE was definitely top, and then ECW, because I didn't quite understand it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And English is my second language, and I didn't learn to speak fluent English till I was 7-8 years old.
True, yeah.
But, and then WCW. But my brother found ECW much in the same way you did.
Really?
And then it wasn't as crazy as the Sandman and Balls Mahoney, but my brother wakes me up the next day. He goes, Simon, I found this TV, this other wrestling, the WWE. And me being naive, I'm like, no way. It was WWE.
You're lying.
And he goes, there was this fat white guy and this big black guy, and then the black guy lifts the opponent, and the white guy does a diamond cutter from the air. And back then, before they were doing all these crazy flipping pile drivers, I was like, that's impossible. You can kill him. A diamond cutter from the air?
That's hysterical. That reminds me of the first time I ever saw Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner. Which one was which now?
Rick was
the Bulldog face one. Right?
The Bulldog face gremlin.
Okay, so Scott Steiner, and this is when they were wrestling in WWF, and their gimmick was like, we're still collegiate wrestlers.
Oh, the university guys.
Yeah, the university, the Michigan shit. And He did. He did his Huron Kanrana, where, for people who don't know, is when you jump up on a person's shoulders and then like you flip backwards and then they flip forward and it looks like, oh, why should you flip them with your thighs? That's crazy. And he did it from the top rope, and that was like the first time I ever seen that ever in any context. Like, not knowing that is a very popular, a long time move in Mexican wrestling, Japanese wrestling, blah blah blah. You know, that was the first time. Was like I saw that on American TV. This was like WWF Saturday morning, or was it Saturday night? Main event.
Main event, yeah.
Main event, man.
But to us, that was crazy.
To that, I was like, what, he flipped? Did the other guy flip? Oh, my God. I didn't know. At that time, I was like, eight.
You know, so the, fucking... you know that accidentally hurt Stone Cold with, where you sit out instead of kneel on your knees?
Yeah.
Scott Steiner does a move where he holds the guy up for a stalling suplex.
Yes.
And then he flips him to that position and sits out with them, and it's called the screwdriver. And it is the most insane,
that's a heinous
butt-clenching move.
It's a ballsy move to just pull on someone. Like, I'm gonna almost drop you.
I wrestled a guy in Sarasota whose finisher was that, and he was like, well, you're going to take it? And I laughed, like, audibly, openly laughed in his face. As I'm packing my stuff back in my bag.
Like, no,
come on, Simon. No. Fuck you, buddy. No.
Do not trust you to drop me on my neck. You're also a tall dude.
Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, gotta be careful with that. It's like, I'm an Undertaker. I'm just going to drop you on your head. Is that cool? I know you're a giant. I'm about to put all your weight on your own neck. In ECW, there was like some... they wrestled so hard, there was real like injuries. Like the, I mean, y'all get the real injuries. You know, like Taz broke his neck.
His neck? Came, Sabu?
Yeah, Sabu broke Taz's neck. He came back from that, and that built a whole nice like rivalry between the two of them. And then there was one where ECW would, for house shows, because again, pre-internet, for house shows that they weren't planning on having on TV, they would have one person there ringside with a video camera taping the whole thing. And
ECW
then
they, TV.
Yeah, and then they would tape, box that shit up and sell it. You know, you get a buy all of that. And just in case something crazy happened, then they would have footage of it. So there was one time, it wasn't scheduled, Taz versus Sabu in a house match. And Taz, they're running at each other, like bouncing off the ropes. And Taz gives them like a lariat clothesline, like as hard as he can. He whips his arm at him. And his bicep hit Sabu's face so hard that he broke Sabu's jaw and ripped his own arm muscle. He ripped his bicep muscle in the process. Injured them both. He hit them so hard, which is like, do they really hate each other? That's fucking hardcore. But then to always work together like that.
But that's my philosophy. I know I'm not a big guy. I know I'm tall. Mm. But people ask me why I hit so hard and why I'm so adamant, you know, considering with the longevity we're supposed to have.
Yeah.
I like to hit hard and I like to get hit hard because when people come to a show, I want them to watch every match and go, oh, okay, that was entertaining, but you could tell they're pulling it. But here comes Simon and he's going to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, you don't want to see people pulling it. Yeah, you want them to go for it. I think it's appeal of someone like a New Jack, you know, because he went for it, you know. A lot of those ECW guys would just really go for it. That's a big part of the culture. Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Not known at all forever. Selling anyone short, you know, throwing it all out there. And then he got hurt a lot and fighting through that shit. Have you seen Raven lately?
Oh,
oh boy.
Oh, really?
Oh,
oh dude, it's really bad.
He's out there.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, Drew. I have the internet.
You'll be confused. You'll search for like Raven, current day wrestler, and you'll be like, I just see pictures of this wrinkly old man in Nirvana t-shirts. I don't know who this is.
I never thought, I've been really fortunate after I got into the business and developing, you know, in February, it'll be 11 years since I've been in the wrestling business.
Wow, crazy.
And
look at Drew's pictures.
He looks like Raven's grandmother now.
Oh, poor God. But what happened to him?
I never anticipated how big of a role ECW was going to play in my life moving forward.
Oh, really?
But after I started working at TNA, one of my first people that took me under their wing and is still... I call him, he's like a father to me, is James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister.
Yes.
And he's the one that taught me how to cut promos and the beauty of psychology and storytelling.
That guy was, he's one of those guys who made his career in the wrestling, at least in front of the camera, as like the manager. And the.
Mm-hmm.
And you have wrestlers that are good in the ring but not hot on the mic. You give him a manager.
Yeah, and so he taught me the art of that. You know,
that's a great teacher to have.
Of course, the Dudleys, you know, my teachers at school.
Great talkers too.
Yeah.
Bubba Ray's a great
talker. Great at getting
Bully heat. Bully Ray now, whatever his name is.
Yeah. But, you know, and then Simon Diamond, who was also, you know, they called him a comedy act because he would talk, but the guy could go.
Yeah.
And then New Jack. And these guys are people that are legitimate friends of my life that I would have never growing up, if you would have told me, I would have, you know,
these are guys that be influencing you and mentoring you and
yeah,
showing
man,
you the ropes,
and really like looked out for me. And
that's a pretty great stable of people there.
It's crazy, man. So like still my phone goes off and not the name drop, but you know, when those guys call, I'll get a call from Headbanger Mosh, like, hey, we're gonna be on SmackDown tonight, make sure you're watching, blah blah blah, you know.
That's awesome. So, the Headbangers,
bro, they were my favorite tag team growing up.
They're still doing their thing.
And then we wrestled them in Orlando for this company called PWX. So we went out there.
I think I've seen those.
It was like a hey, how you doing? I'm blah 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 blah. We're gonna go out there. We're gonna. We went out there, and the match was so. It was like lightning struck in the right place, man. It was magic. Everyone was like, the whole building was gathered. The whole locker room was gathered by the curtain watching. We came to the back.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Look at those goosebumps.
And, you know, and Mosh and Thrasher came over and like hugged me, big kiss on the head. They're like,
Oh, that happens. Yeah, you popped out.
Like, you guys were amazing. Like, I can't believe what we just did out there. We've never worked a team that was so understanding of their roles. And, and they've, since then, and we've worked them a dozen times. And
that's awesome.
They've come to my trivia shows, and
that's how you make those connections, man. The good, you show up, you do the work, you impress them. They're like, this guy, I want to work with this guy.
And every time they've had to work somebody in Florida, then their opponent doesn't show up, or they work a new company. They're like, hey, who do you guys
want
to work?
They got you. They got you on the speed.
We want Simon, man.
That's awesome.
And
dude,
it's so surreal. My brother came to the match where we beat them back for the titles.
Yeah.
And my brother like cried in the crowd because he remembers us dressing up as them.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, so
that's cool. Awesome. That's super cool. Do you have like any like, what's the plan for 2017 wrestling wise? Like, you have anything coming up? Or
I kind of took a little bit of a backseat.
I noticed that
after the baby came.
You got Lil Harrison
and healing up. I hadn't taken any time off in 10 years, so healing up tentatively.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be doing a big show for Vintage Wrestling on January 19th, where there's rumors of me versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Damn. Don't kill that old man.
Dude, that would
be careful.
I wanted to do the whole Andy Kaufman deal. Yeah. I want to come to the ring with a robe.
God, if you pull Andy Kaufman on him.
Dude. Yeah, I really like the Long Johns.
That'd be so amazing.
Everything, man, yeah.
Come out there with like a women's championship.
The intergender.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes. Oh, my God.
I gotta get you guys on commentary for that match if we do it.
I would love to see that.
You and Drew got to do play-by-play.
I'll be there for that. Dude, you can get him to like smack you. Like, pop a chair in the middle of the ring. And then sit down like you're going to do an interview and he'll smack you in the face.
The Letterman?
Yeah, do the whole Letterman thing.
I've been really wanting. There's a lot of good female wrestling companies. And I wasn't a big proponent for women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. I was a big naysayer. And then I went and see Shimmer. And those girls really bust their ass, man.
Shimmer? Like, what's Shimmer?
Shimmer is an all-female wrestling company based out of Tampa. They're Shimmer and they're Shine. And it's all girls. The whole roster is girls.
No shit.
And dude, they beat the holy shit out of each other. Really? I fell in love.
No way.
Chris, it was nuts. I went down there.
I guess it's online, right?
But I'll link you to the good stuff because there's still a lot of garbage you got to wade through.
Yeah, there's no way it always is, especially with the lower budget stuff.
But the idea I had was, as the heel Simon says, you know, my gimmick is I have Says Enterprises, my company, and people that work for me, whatever.
Yeah.
I want to show up, and the following segment has been paid for by Says Enterprises. Nice. And I come out like, what are you girls doing? What? You're wasting your money you could be spending on, I don't know, rolling pins? And curlers for your hair, and you're buying boots. Like, none of these people care unless you're making them a sandwich, you know. And
yeah, super, super sexist. Yeah,
yeah. And then awesome. Have a girl come out, throw me around, and I cheat to win, have my big bodyguard, you know.
That's so confident. That's fucking awesome.
I want to do it so bad.
That'd be great. That would actually be great.
Because these guys that go and they have hardcore, like ECW style fans, and these perverts that come out and, like, yeah, women's wrestling is amazing.
We'll watch them beat each other up. And then you can take it. So you'll be like, ladies, just fucking go for it. Just like fucking try to knock me out. Actually, don't say that. They might actually try to knock me out.
Oh, I will knock you the fuck out.
I've wrestled. I've done intergender tag team matches where those girls, they get mad at the stuff that I say. A lot of people in this business buy the Simon Says gimmick. And I am so thankful.
That works. I mean, it works. If it works, it works.
You know,
that's how you know you're good.
And fans and people in the back. I've met people that, you know, that I'm encountering for the first time in a locker room. I go, hey, I'm Simon.
Right.
And they're like,
fuck
you, bro.
I don't know about this guy.
And then when they work with me afterwards, they'll be like, man, we heard so much bad stuff about you. And I'm like, good. Good. Yeah. You know what? Because kayfabe is dead. And if you believe that I'm an asshole, that means the fans are going to believe
that's
that I'm an asshole. And they're going to pay their money to watch me get my ass kicked.
That's true. Everyone goes into it knowing now it's like the social contract of professional wrestling. We all know what's going on, but we're there for the certain spectacle. And if you can still get people to hate you, like, fuck that guy, boo. Like,
brother, damn, that's one thing that I hold like like a second child is my ability to make people believe and do stuff. You know, I've done angles where, you know, hey, we're gonna do this thing in the back. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, we're gonna post it online. Like, no, because if you post it online, they're gonna know it's a work. So we'll have everyone else post on their Facebook. I can't believe the scuffle we just saw in the locker room. True. Let people ask what happened, and then as it comes out, Simon slaps some guy, and then sure enough, then it's real.
There you go.
You know, and I love doing stuff like that, man.
Man, that's a great idea.
It's just little things, you know. Instead of filming, it's little stuff. You know, there's one that we did where they were gonna bring the show cameras to the back while me and this guy were shoving each other.
Yes.
Said, no, don't. So get three people, pull out their cell phone, mm-hmm. and then we're gonna start the filming halfway through. Because if you started with me walking up, then it's like plan. Oh, how are you?
Yeah.
How did you know Simon was gonna go up to him?
Yes. No, exactly. Yes. It's like, and we're following Simon because
exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, but enough, it was halfway through shoving me screaming stuff like, yeah, we're getting my face like that again. I swear to God, I'm going to cripple you, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut the fuck up, Simon, blah, blah. And then they post it on the internet. And I go on there and go, please remove this. So now fans see, oh, shit, Simon's telling him to take it down. That's not supposed to be up here.
Yeah.
We're part of something inside.
Yes. That is how you... Oh, that's so smart. Because you're right. Kayfabe is dead. So you got to go that extra level of trickery now. Before, man, you couldn't even be seen. The bad guy, quote, wrestlers had to be in one part of the locker room. Yep. And the good guys, they couldn't be mixed. But then... next town over, they'd be hanging out together because they're buddies eating steaks, and then like a fan will see them like,
hey, that's it, man.
Yeah, it's like, what? Yeah, you had to hide that shit. So crazy. There was a story, you know, story of what's his name, Stossel. Is it Stossel who asked a wrestler? Man, what was that guy's name? I think he may have been going by Dr. Death.
Dr. Schultz, Dr. D.
Dr. D.
The guy with the blonde curls.
Yeah, so blonde curls. And he smacked the dude on the ear.
Smacked the hell out of him.
He made the guy deaf, Drew. A reporter for like, I don't know, 20 or whatever. Yeah. Like a serious like reporter for the network news.
Wow.
Because this was the 80s when in the news they're still trying to like oust wrestling as being quote fake. You know, like that's gonna be the big scandal when we prove that it's fake, right?
But we all know.
Yeah, at this point now, you know, this we're talking early 80s, like 82, 84. One wrestler asked, a reporter asked a dude in the back, is wrestling fake straight up? And the dude just like clapped him right on the ear, just
right on,
and he popped his eardrum and permanently deafened that ear. Dude sued. I guess they settled. He got a ton of money. The wrestler got fired. Yeah. You know, it was a pretty big deal.
That's
about
right. Yeah.
And then there's a story. You can find this online. Richard Belzer.
Hogan!
You know this one? Drew, do you know the Richard Belzer story? No. Richard Belzer used to have a talk show in New York.
Okay.
And he had Hogan on for WrestleMania what?
Yeah, it was like 4 or something.
Whichever one, it was with him and Mr. T, right?
So it must have been the first one then.
It was the first one because Mr. T was there, I think. I think he was sitting in the chair.
It was. Okay, so it was either one or two because Mr. T came back to box Piper in 2. So one of those two. Yeah, yeah.
And so Richard Belzer's the host of the show and Hogan's there and he's like, put me in a move. You know, show me a move. He's like, all right, gets on stage. Richard Belzer's a lanky idiot. You know, he's like, show me a move. Let's go. And Hogan puts him in a front headlock. And he tells him, it's like really put one on me, you know? So he puts him in front headlock, and then, like, he squeezes a little bit.
Passes him out.
And he passes him out. And then he lets go. Richard Belzer hits the ground, and the back of his head hits the ground. And he lays there for a second, and then he pops up, and he's like, hey, like, on autopilot. He's like, hey, you're right, here we go. And he points to the camera. He's like, we'll be right back after this message. Hogan, meanwhile, he's standing there. He's looking at the back of Richard Belzer's head, and there's blood squirting out of the back of his head at Hogan. And you can kind of see it in the clip real quick.
Like, yeah.
A quick spurt. And he was like, yeah, that's great. And they took him aside, and he ended up suing. He sued Hogan. I think he settled, calls his house to Shea Hogan, got like 20, 25 million out of him, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Back in then, you had to be careful with the wrestling, man. You had to prove that was real at the expense of other people's health.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy named Fit Finley who worked for WCW. Irish Fit Finley. Yes, he's tough as nails, man.
Stiff.
And he's really famous for when people ask him the question, is wrestling fake?
What does he do?
He's like, give me your hand. And just like, with the like hand, this? he'll shake the hand and then break their thumb.
No.
Yeah, and he tells there's a documentary about him. And it's just like, I'm not going to do it to you, but shake the hand and then, like,
crack,
there's a way he can do it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
man.
Crazy.
And I'm the same way about kayfabe, about stuff like that. Like, when little kids come up to me at a show and I'm a heel, everyone else will sign autographs, but I'm taking autograph books and, like, spit in it and throw it down and rip it up. Parents come up, want to fight me, and... You know?
I'm like, this is the gimmick, man. This is part of the show.
Exactly.
Don't be nice to my son. I'll smack you with the face. Old man, fat old dad. And dad's like, I do CrossFit. It's like, that's great, man.
Is yeah, man. And people ask me all the time if it's fake and stuff like that. The best way to answer that question is, man, it's choreographed. It's predetermined. Yeah. But you can't fake gravity. That ring is
hard
as fuck.
No, exactly. The end has been decided. Who wins this match? We already know that. Even some of the stuff in the match, like you said, choreographed. You know that we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. But like you guys said, I mean, it's still gravity's still there. There's still a mat. I mean, yes, those the tables and chairs are weakened. They're not steel chairs and shit like. But it's still a fucking chair.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude still went through a table.
Yeah, people still get concussions and break their bones
all the time.
I saw Eddie Guerrero break his forearm doing a frog splash.
Dislocated his elbow on SmackDown.
Was it SmackDown?
It was his first match with WWE.
And remember, he went into a huge frog splash. He hit the ground while on his knees and elbows, and his arm just went popped out.
Oh.
And then he just like, and he's already laying on the guy. The ref was like, 1, 2, 3, and then he's just laying there. And he took out his arm.
He's
like, guys, my arm, I can't. It's fucked.
I did a show in January of 2011 where I was wrestling with one of my buddies named Mike Cruz, and I hit him. I do this move where on my shoulders, spin around the back, and I catch him and do a backbreaker.
Jesus.
So when I did it, the mat that was wrestling on was so loose that I kind of slipped. So in order for Cruz not to fall on his head, I threw him forward.
Yeah.
And when he went forward, he landed on my knee.
Oh.
With my toes are still pointing down.
Ah.
So, and the video's on YouTube. And sure enough, comes down and boom. And when I lift my foot up, my foot is at a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
So the camera spins around this way and you hear me go, I think I broke my fucking ankle.
Yeah, man.
That's terrible.
I've had 8 concussions.
Damn.
I have bulging discs in my back,
yeah.
A herniated disc in my neck.
Yeah.
I've broken all my fingers on my right hand.
You've broken them all?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
All at the same time or different times?
I broke 3 at the same time.
Gah!
Yeah. Doing a spot. I love to do the spot where we're fighting on the outside and I'll back my opponent up against a steel post.
Yeah.
And I'll turn to the crowd and go, shh, watch this, morons. And I'll go to chop him. So the guy will move, and when I hit the post, I'll sell.
Yeah.
I'll have them grab my hand and tell the kids to put their hands up, and then make me high-five the kids with the hand that I just hit the post.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell was. I was probably, honestly, just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Went for the chop and turned my hand sideways, and I hit the post sideways.
Ah.
Oh. Yeah. It was swollen, and this one was like this. Yeah, dude. So I popped it back in, kept doing the match, and then my hand looked like a hospital glove full of water.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Terrible. Yeah, oh, dude. Man. The injuries, and that's just a peak. That's just a tip. That's just, there's so many more horrible things that can happen, ranging all the way up
death. What?
Death. People have died in their ring.
Oh, yeah. Cactus Jack, when he came off the top of that cage match. And
through the cage.
Oof. and they pan to him, and he's smiling, and his own tooth is coming out of his nose.
Yeah. It's sucked up in his nose.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then it came down. He was sitting there like on his mustache, and I'm like,
one in a million shot, fuck. Too. Like, you can't plan that.
No.
The cage wasn't supposed to break.
No, it wasn't.
But then if you look at it, the cage was assembled. That looked like it had the twisty ties.
Yeah, like twisty ties. Yeah. And they're supposed to hold Taker and Mankind up there.
Yeah, like, didn't they talk about this? Didn't they know they're going to go up there? And they chokes him through a cage.
Yeah.
15-6. Oh, my God.
And what sucks is he does interviews, and he says the first toss, like Drew said, off the cage to the table was planned.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was planned. He was ready.
Because it was through a table, at least. Yeah.
But the one in the ring was not planned.
No.
And he says that ring is so stiff that he said fall onto the table hurt less than going through the ring, through the cage, onto the ring.
Also going right through the middle, hitting the middle of the ring where that spring is. So it's the least amount of give.
And then that chair that was on the cage too fell, hit him in the face.
That's what probably.
You know, I said it looks like he's smiling, but he's actually got this giant hole underneath his bottom lip. He's trying he's trying to put his tongue through the hole. Yeah, exactly.
It's I've seen that so many times.
Yeah,
I can picture it. Oh, it's terrible. And then there's the. I can't find the tape. I have it on cassette somewhere. But there's just a slightly shittier version on YouTube. It's all broken up into bits. The, is it IWA? Japan Deathmatch Tournament from like 96? Something like that.
With Terry Funk?
Terry Funk and Mick Foley, where it came down to the two of them in the finals. But they, they had 3 matches each. And then the final match was the exploding barbed wire match.
C4, yeah, dude.
Shit's ridiculous.
C4.
Like, yeah, I mean, how does that even work? They put a little bit, how did they put the C4 on the boards? Like, what do they put on the board so that when they hit them, the pressure makes it Like that little explosion.
I don't know. I've never even thought about looking into that. That's
How? I'm sure it's on the internet, but I didn't bother.
Because if it's a good story involved, I love good hardcore wrestling.
Yeah, that, you know, like, that whole tournament is just
like when it's just gratuitous. Like there's a company called CZW,
CZW
Combat Zone Wrestling.
Okay, that's terrible,
bro. Dean Ambrose was on it.
Oh really?
Getting cut in the forehead with a saw, like an electric saw on his forehead, like bleeding buckets.
Jesus.
There's light tubes. There's weed whackers. There's one guy lift. You know, there's a video online, man. It's ridiculous.
I found that whenever they start breaking out the fluorescent tubes, that's when they start losing me. Those are the companies that I find like, no, you guys are going too far now.
I've gone into thumbtacks. You know,
thumbtacks.
Yeah,
I've seen plenty of thumbtacks. Thumbtacks are tiny. They hurt like hell. You're pinpricking you. But I mean, what's the worst that's gonna happen? Maybe you might get one in your eye.
Okay. I got one in the corner.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. See, chance of that. It's minimal, but chance of that. But like when you're dealing with a fluorescent tube, like I mean, people use that for survival, man. They'll stick you in the neck, and then it's a nice,
and you bleed the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a nice tube, so the blood can
a straw. And the glass tubes are also usually cheap glass as well.
Exactly.
So what you do is terrible. You stab and then you break.
Yeah, no bad stuff. Not
yeah,
bad.
And I got
just bleed the fuck out.
I got scars on my forearm from barbed wire, but that was from TNA, one of the set pieces that we were doing for a Sting and Abyss fell over and sliced me, so that sucked. But like, you see videos of Terry Funk versus Sabu with the barbed wire rope match where Sabu ripped his bicep open.
Yeah, and he had a tape
and it taped it up.
Yeah, you taped it up right there because he was like, I was like, I'm bleeding out, and I got some tape. And then Terry Funk picks him up and he gives him like a reverse neck breaker, and he's still like taping up his arm too.
Like not selling at all, just taping up his arm. Yeah, exactly. Man, that's hardcore stuff. The most I've done, like I've crazy glued, getting busted open from a cage.
Yeah.
But not like, I can't imagine taping up.
I mean, fuck, I've been that at work.
Well, crazy glue something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a musician's trick too, you know, drummers and bassists who get the calluses, like holes in their hands.
Yeah, they just fill it with super glue.
They'll fill it up with super glue so they can perform.
I did not know that. That's awesome.
Super glue is very versatile.
It
works for a lot of situations.
That duct tape.
And duct tape, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I can't imagine what I was thinking of after he wraps up, does the whole match, and then he's all done later. Then he's got to like unwrap. He gets to that point where like, oh, and he gets to the last few strips, like, oh, it's separating. This is terrible. Someone give me the booze. And that was a crazy match because it ends with. Terry Funk is wrapped in barbed wire, laying on a table.
Yep.
Sabu grabs barbed wire, wraps it around himself, and then jumps off the ring onto Terry Funk through the table. And then at that point, they're both wrapped up in barbed wire, and they can't get out.
I was about to say, so who's got the wire cutters?
Exactly. So they had to, with help, both of them stood up, crawled back into the ring. Sabu was on top of Terry Funk, all wrapped in barbed wire, and then the ref 1, 2, 3. Terry Funk even tried kicking out at that point.
Yeah,
and he kicked out too late. I think the ref was too like, we're ending this. This is terrible. And then they had to cut them out.
Yeah,
Sabu had like a ring of barbed wire in his pants, and those cheap ass pants he had. Yeah, they were in his pants. I was like, oh, these guys are insane.
When I first broke into the business, I used to wrestle for this company called Eclipse in Zephyr Hills, and they were gritty. Underground, but not the nice underground. It was like a boxing ring in a garage in Zephyr Hills, and a bunch of untrained guys and me trying to break into the business.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you go on YouTube and type in the Irish Bloodbath, Simon Says,
Jesus.
The week before we'd done this angle where I legit had gotten into an argument with my girlfriend, and we broke up.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to the show, we were on the phone breaking up, stopped and got an 18-pack, and me and my buddy Biff killed the 18-pack before the show, which is a big no-no. But I'm drunk as hell.
Yeah.
I come out, grab the mic, and cut a promo about how she's such a see you next Tuesday.
Oh my God.
Screw her. Yeah. If you thought Simon was bad before, wait till you see the new me. Blah, 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 blah. Completely unscripted. It wasn't supposed to happen.
But he used the persona to like vent those real feelings and stuff, which is very interesting.
So the promoter.
It's nice to have that outlet there.
So I, instead of doing actual moves and slammed, I just brawled the entire time. Like I gouges, finger stomps. We get to the back, and the promoter's like, I loved it. I love the new crazy Simon. We'll go with it next week. We'll do a spot with you and the other guy.
Oh, wow.
So I had the guy come out and cut this promo saying, we all know why Simon's girlfriend left him because he's such an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wonder, blah, blah, blah. He calls me out. My music plays twice. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Third time my music plays, he comes to the curtain. He's like, come on, Simon. I don't come out. He turns his back. He goes, where the hell is he? I come from behind and crack him with a chair. Mind you, I'm drunk again. So we both are, actually. So, dude, I swung for the fences.
Oh, yeah?
Chris. So I busted him up. On top of him gigging, because he was one of these guys that's not too experienced, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's got the bust open, plus he gigs on top of it, and he's been drinking with me the whole night.
He's bleeding. So, bro,
it's falling out of his face.
Oh, my God.
So there's blood spitting ass all over the floor. We get in the ring, and I'm teeing off. Bro, I must have hit this poor soul with 12, 13 shots.
Oh, he did what the Rock did to Mick Foley.
Yeah,
oh,
but he's not putting his hands up. He's just taking it like a champ. Yeah. Something to prove. Bam, bam, bam. The floor is filling with freaking puddles of blood.
Yeah.
And it's one of those tarps. It's not a canvas. It's a tarp. So if you watch the match, when we actually start swinging and he starts firing up on me, I take the first bump. And when I bump, it splatters into the crowd. Like a Gallagher concert. People are getting up doing this. Getting up. So I beat the holy hell out of this poor kid. God. Finally hit him with the close. The sign says, clothesline, it says Express. 1, 2, 3. I take my hand and I rub it on his face, and then I rub his blood on my own face.
Jesus.
And I take another handful and rub it on my chest. The locker room empties out because they thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Get to the back, whatever. Fucking Zephyr Hill's newspaper shows up to take pictures of all the. It looked like a crime scene.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. And then the next day I got the call from the previous owners of Vintage Wrestling. And they're like, how would you like to come work in the big leagues of indie wrestling in Florida?
Oh, shit. That's but it was. Did it.
And I watched the video back. There's a point crazy. Where I crack him with a chair. And he falls on his ass. Mm-hmm. So he's leaning against the ropes, and he's doing this weird thing with his hand. When I asked him a couple years later, I was like, what were you doing? He was like, I was telling
the rope
to cut it.
Yeah.
To cut. Like, I was telling you to stop. And I was like, well, sorry, my man.
Oh, geez. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you 5 more times.
Yeah, sorry, brother. Good job out there.
Oh, wow. That is crazy.
And so he ended up getting, 7 staples, or 7 stitches inside, mm-hmm. and 16 staples on the outside.
No.
Of the yeah. And the poor guy kept getting asked to do hardcore wrestling after that. And
of course.
He never had any intention to do hardcore wrestling. So every booking he got after that was...
They're like, this guy's a bleeder.
we like it.
Can you dye your hair blonde? This is going to work out
great.
Yeah,
man.
It sounded like you almost had a mass transit situation. Oof. There. Yeah, that was bad. Did that guy actually die? He didn't die, did he?
Not afterwards. He's since died, but not because of that.
Not because of that. There's a infamous story, Drew. Was that ECW house show?
ECW with New Jack.
Yeah, with New Jack. It was New Jack, right? He, this guy who was...
18 or 19. He was an underage kid.
And unexperienced. Totally inexperienced. And then he was like, yeah, I'll do this hardcore match. And in the ring, he gigged himself. And he cut too deep, and he just practically bled out there in the ring.
Practically bled out, dude.
Yeah, almost died. He almost died in the ring, and that was a big deal when it happened.
Yeah, hearing
New Jack, because of his age thing. So I forgot about that. I think he was underage.
It was underage. Yeah, hearing New Jack tell those stories, man, is like so surreal. Like sitting around and just partying and drinking.
I'm surprised he remembers some of them because I saw him at the Asbury Park Convention Center jump off the goddamn balcony with Spike Dudley through
Mustafa.
Who did he go through? No, it was him and Spike Dudley, I think, together.
And it was Devon, then it had to be the Dudleys.
I think they were going against the Dudleys.
That's one where his head got crushed. There's one where New Jack fell off the top. No, that was the Grimes. He fell off. He jumped off the gimmick, and Grimes was scared, so New Jack had to pull him. And Grimes fell on New Jack's head and crushed.
No, I don't remember that one.
He's been through a lot of stuff, man.
Yes, he has legendary. All right, real quick, favorite wrestler ever, Simon.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Drew.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Ooh.
I like
him. Why? Why Jake?
Why? It was a buddy of mine who got me into wrestling. It was his favorite wrestler. It happened to be my favorite wrestler at the time, too.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it would have to be Hulk Hogan because I grew up a total Hulkamaniac, so 100%.
Favorite tag team.
Favorite tag team. Oh, that one's so tough. The Hart Foundation. Yeah, I'm a big Hart Foundation fan. Simon, you got one?
I'm a big fan of Edge and Christian.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's late 90s.
So entertaining,
man. They had good chemistry together. Didn't they say they were brothers? Like, they were brothers.
Yeah.
But they weren't.
But the kazoos. Yeah.
I think one of them was from Canada.
They were both Canadian. They were both friends growing up, but yeah.
Oh, they were friends, though.
Yeah. I remember when they tried to be vampires. That was hilarious.
Yes. But they joined, what's his name?
Gangrel.
It was hilarious.
Meanwhile, in Mexico, Vampiro was actually a straight, a real good vampire gimmick because someone's going to do one.
Yeah.
But then WCW got him, and they fucked him up.
Yeah.
Favorite tag team you got?
I mean, probably around the same rate that the Hardy Boys. Ooh, I mean, they looked silly as fuck with those goddamn tight shirts and then the parachute pants.
Yeah, especially when they went plaid in the early days.
Yeah, it looked really silly, but they were
The ripped up stockings on their forearms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was fucking stupid. But those motherfuckers. I mean, I remember the first time the tables, ladders, and chairs came out, and that was them.
Yeah,
I mean,
they helped popularize that in the WWF.
Matt Hardy now
kind of stuff, so.
on TNA is one of the best things
has gone. Like a crazy guy gimmick or something?
Yeah, he's Broken Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy. Yeah, there you go. What was I going to say? Oh, also runner-up for the Hart Foundation, same time period as them. The Rockers.
I knew you were going to say that, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, man. And then they broke up, and Shawn Michaels was like, woo! wrestlers go there. And then Marty Jannetty was like, And then like 15 years later, still like hitting the indie circuit, man. Yeah, signing autographs. Like, good for you, Marty. Then
I've done shows.
You got nothing
him.
Else. Have you?
Yeah, man.
Is he a nice guy?
He's a party guy.
He's a rocker.
Yeah. That's a good, safe way to put it.
Yeah, he's living the gimmick. Good for him. Maybe it wasn't a gimmick. They really were rockers.
Do you have a favorite manager by chance?
Oh, man. You know, it would either be Paul Bearer, because the whole gimmick was just so great. Was his real name Percy Pringle or something?
Yeah, Percy Pringle. Yeah, William Moody.
Either him or Reverend Slick.
Holy cow, with the curveball.
Yeah, Reverend Slick was wild, man. He was the type of guy you would put with someone like the Warlord. Like, this guy can't say shit. give him Reverend Slick. Like, Reverend Slick with the Warlord, that makes no sense. Just do it. Reverend Slick's walking around out there with a suit. And this king's like, he's having a good time.
I don't know what I'm doing out here.
Yeah, he's so much fun. Also, shout-outs to, what did the Dullies have? The guy with the fucking neck.
Joel Gertner.
That guy could rock a mic, man.
I did not know you knew so much, like, in-depth stuff about wrestling. I'm a fucking wrestling freak.
Wrestling. I haven't watched much, and Drew will attest. I try to watch it now.
I'll put it on
WWE.
Well, and most of the time,
first off, you're talking.
And yeah, exactly. Most of the time, it's the talkie-talkie, and we're watching this, and it's like, man, is that Chris Jericho?
Does he
even wrestle anymore?
He's out there with a clipboard now.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? The list.
Man,
he's another guy that really knew how to reinvent himself, man. Yeah. The stuff that he's doing on TV gets the biggest reactions of anything else going on.
Which is why he's still on there, which is why we did see him on TV recently, because he can, for some reason, keep up with the trends of wrestling at the time and keep doing it. So definitely respect to that. Do you have a favorite talker?
James Mitchell was, of course, up there, man. The Sinister Man and Articulation. Yeah. Bobby Heenan and Jim Cornette.
Bobby Heenan, yes.
They're all our close seconds.
Jim Cornette, he had the gimmick with the tennis racket. So yeah, when I was growing up, I was like, he's just a guy with a tennis racket. Did he also have a megaphone?
That was Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart, he also had a band. He would play music.
Hulk Hogan's music was written by Jimmy Hart's band. Yeah. How are you, Drewster?
Doing okay.
Do you have a manager?
No. Not, I mean,
can't think of one.
No, not. Not
deep enough.
Not Simon deep enough says. For me.
I've just recently got back to doing managing stuff. And I'm managing my buddy John Davis, who's 350-something pounds of badass. Dude, he is a house.
Boy.
So,
how tall is he? 5'6"?
John's like my height, man.
You're a tall dude.
He is a hoss, dude. When I tell you, he's and you know, I part my hair down the middle. I wear the loud Oppa suit jackets and stuff like that. And I come out there and you know, hey, Pell City, Alabama, jingle your tractor keys if you're here to have a good time. Boo! Yeah. Oh, you want to get to me, you get to this guy. So, you know.
That's awesome.
It's
that's pretty good. That's fun. Where can people find you online if they want to follow your wrestling escapades and see you do your next gig? Hopefully you'll do that one against, who was it?
Jerry Lawler, man.
Goddamn Lawler, man, the king.
You can check me out at facebook.com/TheSimonSays or Emerald_Emperor on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice.
FacebookWrestlingFL.com for all the vintage wrestling stuff, you know, so.
Yes.
It's I'm all over the place.
Oh, yeah, you are.
And 2017 is going to be the year of Simon Says.
God damn, that guy is huge. He's just slightly taller than you too.
That's my buddy.
Look at the size of that guy.
John Davis.
He makes you look like a normal sized guy. He looks like he's a normal dude, and like you're a skinny dude. Yeah. But the truth is, you're a tall dude, and that guy is a goddamn giant.
Fucking monster.
He's
a house,
man. He's one half of Dark City Fight Club. They're former, the last of the actual NWA Tag Team Championships, defending around the world and stuff. John and Corey Chavis were that team.
Dark City Fight Club.
That's pretty good. They're large, angry men.
Yes. Very large.
Sure, we're going to be finding one.
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
People follow him and do that stuff, and then follow us with the Cinema Crispity. So, all the things. And thank you for listening to the wrestling episode. That was fun, Simon. Oh, parting gift. I wanted to give this to you. Here we go. Here's the incomplete pack of trading cards from the early 90s. And it's actually pretty much it's highlights of WrestleManias 1 through 6.
Bro, I'm not just saying this because we're on the air. I could fucking kiss you right now. Bro, I love these things, and my collection got wet in the move.
No.
And bro, it was heartbreaking. Look at this.
Yeah, again.
Man. The emotions are running deep.
We're running wild, brother.
There you go.
Can you do a Hogan impression?
Brother, can I do a Hogan? Man, I was just trying to do
one. Macho Man.
He does Macho Man really good.
I'm more of a Macho Man here. it was
he always does that, the magic sprinkle fingers too.
I don't know. I don't want to take up too much time, man. But the wrestling impression.
No, it's really good. He's really good with the Macho Man.
I like doing the Macho Man. Hogan, Younger, I'll try to do a Hogan, but Macho Man's, I guess it's easier.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can bust out either of mine. I can do a two of them. They're going to suck. I know it right now because I'm on the spot, but
do it.
First thing I want to be done is stomp a mud hole in your ass. You think Stone Cold Steve Austin's going to lay down for Cinema Crespediso?
That's tough.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Take your podcast and stick it up your ass.
That's tough, because you're doing a Texas Southern, and you got the man, I can't even do that. Like you're talking from the back of your throat, like you've been smoking and drinking all night.
That's the other one. And I'll put the mic back for this one. Woo! Let the nature boy answer this question. Who is the greatest in-ring performer in the world?
That's good. Because he's got the lisp thing going on that you're recreating. That's seriously good, man. No, I'm impressed. Awesome.
Take that, Jay Lethal.
Wrestling's fun. I enjoy it. I wish it was better these days. You got to get on there and make it better, man.
Thank you, buddy.
So I can watch it again.
Thank you,
That's
man.
What I need. I need that in. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back soon with more Cinema Crespediso and maybe other stuff as well. Because that's what we do.